Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
I got to tell you, I'm absolutely loving it right now.
Oh, my God. My God.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
This is for you.
Let's go.
They're playing Tim as a right center field hitter. There's a lot of room down the line in left, and there's a gap in left center.
Left-hand side. Throw comes into third, and Madrigal is out.
You got to be really sure. You're in scoring position. You absolutely have to be dead sure that you can make this. Gonzalez with a heads-up play. They get him really easily at third base. This is a bad decision.
I don't understand what Nick Madrigal was doing. Getting thrown out at third base, and he wasn't just thrown out. He was thrown out by, my God, 3 feet. Just insane. I think you got to sit down with him and talk to him after that. You can't let that one go. It's great to see the guy hit doubles. I think it's fantastic. I hope he keeps hitting doubles. Just don't want to see him thrown out when he does. So that was the one that really made me slap my forehead and make a noise.
Mike Mulligan.
He's fearless. He's observant and has great emotional intelligence.
David Hall.
He's a winner. He's intelligent. He's innovative. He has strong character.
Here comes the 1-1 from Jeffress. Ground ball to Bryant. He's got it. Throw to second. Cubs win. Baez covering. 5-6 on the fielder's choice. Jeffress gets the save. Alec Mills gets the win. And the Cubs beat the Reds by a score of 3-0.
Back in February when they signed Jeremy Jeffress, it was an $850,000 contract, and there was a hope that he would recover some of the magic that he had or recapture it from 2018, and he had hip and shoulder issues last year with the Brewers, which affected his consistency, and so he was basically a gamble. But boy, has it paid off. Where would the Cubs be without him? I don't think they want to answer that question, because then it would be a collection of Rowan Wick, Kyle Ryan, and a lot of prayer. You might not be in first place. You don't know, because Kimbrel has proven too often that he's not to be trusted in high-leverage situations. And those are the high-leverage situations Jeremy Jeffress seems to thrive in.
Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Let's freaking go.
Mully and Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a wondrous and exciting Wednesday in fine city of Chicago. We got baseball teams playing great baseball.
Yep.
Maybe not so much last night on the south side, but nonetheless, great baseball. And we got the Bears starting. It is football season, my friend. It's upon us. Tomorrow is the opener. The Bears kick off on Sunday. Let me repeat that. The Bears kick off on Sunday. And
yes,
it's Cairo Santos, Dave, that will be doing the kicking. How about that?
Well, exclamation point, happy face emoji. I mean, everything that you want to look at this weekend is going to be here finally. The NFL season arrives, and we're all kind of jacked about that in Chicago. Whether or not the Bears are going to be worth the wait or not, that's why we're here. That's why we were here, to discuss that, to analyze it, and to project and predict. Look, Mully, I think that it's interesting to see what people outside of Chicago think about the Bears. I understand the local cynicism and skepticism, and we contribute to it on a daily basis. because we're here and you want the media and the fans in the NFL markets to kind of look at teams critically and hold them accountable. It has surprised me outside of Chicago how low the expectations are for the Bears. I think most projections have them in the bottom third of the league, somewhere between 20 and 26-ish. And Bigsy weighs in this morning. The Bears are 21 in his power rankings. I think they've been a little bit even lower in others. That defense is pretty good. It seems a little low to me for a team that is coming off 8-8. It did feel like 4-12, but this defense, I think, is better than that. Is that wrong?
Well, I think there's two thoughts. Number one, they finished 8-8 because the last game of the year they played a team that was resting play. That, I mean, the 8-8 was flattered them. They were really a 7-9 football team last year, and that means they were a losing team. That's not how it turned out. I'm talking about when you watched it with the naked eye. They were a huge disappointment. You thought that they were going to be a different team than they were. And I think the reason they were so disappointing is because the offense was so disappointing. And it was hard to watch all year long as we had the old square peg in the round hole, to quote a former Bears GM. It just seemed as if you had the plus of the defense, and obviously that was affected by injury, and they weren't as good as they had been certainly the year before, hopefully not as good as they will be this year. But I think you saw an offense that in no fashion complemented what they were doing. You saw almost like a kind of schism within the team, even though they were together and all that, just a philosophical sort of it just didn't work. It wasn't
divide.
In unison. Yeah. And I think that's the problem, is when you watch a year of kind of taking a quarterback that we all know is significantly better when he's on the move, and putting him in the pocket and expecting him to do things that he didn't seem capable of doing instead of doing the things that he does best. I think that I wonder if we look at that now as sort of a learning thing, like, oh, well, they had to do that in order to get to this year. I don't feel that way. Not when they passed on picking up that option. So that's sort of what's wrong for me. It's just, will the offense and the defense operate in unison? Will they somehow find a way to mesh together? We didn't see it a year ago.
That's what we're skeptical about. And I think that you can talk about everything you just described. Well, the Bears didn't pass the eye test, and that began at the quarterback position. And so all of these reactions to Mitch Trubisky, you know, the incumbent winning the job this season and going into 2020 as the starter, you know, and the discussion yesterday on the station was interesting, and throughout the city was interesting. But I don't think that it's ever, I'm only speaking for me, and I think for us, but it's not personal. It's never been personal about Mitch Trubisky. And I think sometimes people are reacting to, boy, you know, Mitch is getting picked on and Mitch is this. No. This is really just an easy football conversation. When you look at that position, the Bears have every right to expect more from it. And it's not necessarily because of the way he handles himself at press conferences or the way that he handles himself in any other way except for when he is taking the snap and he is dropping back and he's trying to process information at the line of scrimmage or in the pocket, and he's not getting it done, and he's got to get it done. So everything that we talk about with Mitch Trubisky and having this complimentary football being played is depending on them calling plays that take advantage of his strengths and him rewarding that confidence with results in a way that he didn't last year.
I'm with you on everything you just said there, but I think Mitch needs to improve to a point where he's sort of a game manager, and we haven't. I mean, I don't even think he's at that point. That's how inaccurate he was.
I agree.
And even if he gets to that point, is the coach willing to have a game manager quarterback? It's one of the great philosophical dilemmas the Bears face, is they want to run things a certain way, and yet they don't have the trigger man to do it. So they went out and they changed quarterbacks, and they brought in a guy that has done it before at a high level. Now, you know, you can argue that they're handling this perfectly, that, you know, he's the great he loves to come off the bench as the hero, and he can take over a team and he can bring you confidence when things start to go awry. I'm more concerned about what happens on Sunday. You know, yes. you go to Detroit to play this team. You should win that game, period, end of story. If you don't, and I mean, they need to win that game to start their season right, to make everyone have a feel good, to have confidence in the quarterback, the whole bit. And if you don't, oh my God, what a step in the wrong direction. And the kind of loss in a division against a familiar opponent that you'll play against, the kind of loss that resonates. You know, division games are worth twice as much. So we don't know what this team can do. We don't feel like there's some great unveiling, because other than the tight end position, what's significantly different? And I love the idea that you're going to use every blade of grass on the field, be it vertical, be it horizontal. I love that idea. I don't know that they can do it, and they have the guy that can get it done. And I just worry that we're going to be in here on Monday morning, just kind of the equivalent of our head in a car door, just slam, slam.
Well, I think that's what makes this almost as big as any start that Mitch Trubisky has made for the Bears, because of everything riding on what we just described. And I think that when you say that he needs to almost ascend to the position or the level of being a game manager, I have maintained that since they drafted him. And I have said that all along, because I really believe that is where your base is. And he hasn't really gotten there. He's been too inconsistent. But if Mitch Trubisky would ever be able to just be consistently mediocre, even, you have a good enough defense and you should have a good enough game plan, a smart enough coaching staff to work with that. I think we get carried away in this town and a lot of NFL cities because of where he was drafted, the draft status, and what you gave up to get up to that point. So now we have to go from 0 to 60 and think he's got to be a star. No, he's got to be mediocre. That's a starting point. He's not even been that. So if he can get to middle of the pack and not necessarily be the reason the Bears win, but he can't be the reason that they lose. And that's what happened too often last year, and that's what's happened too often in his career. So just ascend to be average, as crazy as that sounds.
I totally believe that, David. I think you're spot on about it. And, you know, again, lean on your strength. Your strength right. is that defense. So figure out a way to make sure that the area where you are best is the area that influences the game the most. It doesn't seem like it takes a lot of rocket scientists to get together and figure that out. When you're just talking about sports, the idea would be do what you do best and make them do the thing they don't want to do.
Because, Mully, as Dan pointed out, how many teams have a defensive line with three special players in Akeem Hicks, in Khalil Mack, and in Robert Quinn, who, if they're going and they're healthy, are special and they're problems? So that is where your strength lies. That is why you have to do everything within your game plan on both sides of the ball to accentuate your strengths and ride your defense.
All right, we're going to bring in Michael Lombardi next. We know how Michael has talked about Mitchell Trubisky. We will ask him, what is the methodology of getting success from this player? And he'll tell us, replacing him with Nick Foles. No, we'll find out what he tells us next. We'll talk to Michael Lombardi, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
If you bet MVP Mitch to win the MVP, you might want to consider that you're not going to get paid on that ticket.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
I want to have a convention of the Mitchell Trubisky MVP voters. I want you to come out of the closet. Like, I want you to come out and say, yes, I did. And just own it. Just, we all have made mistakes. I've had bad draft picks. You got to own it. Like, you got to own it. You know, the guy that's probably ripping my ass on Twitter has probably got an MVP ticket for Mitch.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Michael Lombardi. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Michael.
Great. Good morning to both of you. I am excited about the season. We're less than a day away, so I'm really looking forward to it.
What do you see happening here? I mean, when you look at this season, it's hard for us to, without seeing any preseason, without, you know, we haven't even kind of pored over the magazine. Who's buying a magazine? You're looking at everything online. Help us out. What is going to happen? Who's your Super Bowl teams? Who's going to win the divisions? What? Just give us some storylines that jump out to you.
Well, I think September is going to all be about conditioning. I think, this is a little bit like the college game. It doesn't have any preseason in it. So I think what you're going to see is teams that take their rosters, their, 46 game day rosters or however many they can dress for the game. And you've got to use every single player because there's no way guys are going to be able to play 70 plays without playing a game. You can practice all you want. The conditioning of a game is going to be hard. And when that happens and you're tired, your pad level gets up, your fundamentals go to hell. And I think that ultimately, the offenses can really take advantage of it because if the defenses get tired and they can't rush the passer, then, you're going to make plays in the passing game. So, look, I think it's a wide open race to a lot. The North, for example, I think it's as wide open as could be. Green Bay was a team that won 13 games last year. The Las Vegas books think so highly of them, they posted their over-under at 9. That's a 4-game deficit for a team that was, that won 13 games last year. That's kind of unheard of. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty, which makes the league even more interesting. But let's not overreact to September because we know there's a lot of teams that go 3-1 in September and end up 5-11 season.
Mike, I know you had talked about Mitch Trubisky being the guy that you expected to be the starter or named the starter for the Bears. How long do you think that lasts, and how much will he have to say or that position have to say whether the Bears are among those teams in the North that challenge?
Well, look, I think I even – all the words that came out after they named Mitchell the starter, I think I wrote those words. I said those back in May and June. You knew what the rhetoric was going to be. Look, I think, he goes and plays Detroit. As I've said many times about MVP Mitch, is simply this, is if he can practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the game goes the same way that practice went, he can look effective. Now, he's going to have some of those throws wide right, and he's going to miss a guy wide open. We understand his accuracy is going to be an issue, regardless of what guru in the offseason said his footwork's much better. That's going to be an issue. But I think, they've got to see where they are at the end of the first month and then at that point make an evaluation because the locker room is really, I think Matt Nagy can say to you guys and the media that everybody's on board with MVP Mitch, that he beat out Nick Foles. I'm not sure that's what all the players think. They've lived with MVP Mitch before. They know what it's like. They've been frustrated from it before. And I think that Nagy's in a very challenging spot with the potential of losing his team if this kid doesn't play well or doesn't lead them to victories. He's going to have to make a quick hook.
When you think about the Bears and obviously the strength they have defensively, the strength they have with their line, how will they attempt to complement that, or will they not? We have yet to see that kind of happen, and I don't know that there's any intention on that front, but certainly, it just seems like they're trying to get their offense better, and then that will complement their defense. It doesn't seem like they're too concerned about things like time of possession, like controlling the football and protecting that defense.
Well, I think this, the number one stat in all of football that no one ever talks about on television or even alerts the fans to is first half point differential. And when you have a team like the Chicago Bears, which is built with a defense that can rush the passer, your whole emphasis is you've got to be really good at first half point differential. When you look at it last year, when you look at last year's season, the number one team in first half point differential was Baltimore. The number two team was Kansas City, and then three was San Francisco and four was New England. And why is that? Because here's why. For all these guys that talk about the West Coast offense, right, they talk about Bill Walsh and we're going to run smash seven curl, we're going to run 20 bingo cross. We're a byproduct of the West Coast offense. The West Coast offense was never about plays. It was about a principle. we are going to throw the ball in the first half to then get the lead and allow our defense to rush the passer in the second half to put the lead away. And so we're going to build on that. The Bears last year were minus 21 in first half point difference. They only scored 37 points in the first quarter. 37 points in the first quarter. So for all that talk about the script and Matt Nagy's got BU on his playlist, you know, BU means you got to score more points. I mean, Baltimore scored 128 points in the first quarter last year. You know, San Francisco scored 106. New England, which offense wasn't very effective last year, they scored 118. The Bears scored 37. The Bears had one of the lowest first quarter productions in all the National Football League last year. And actually, they tied with Washington for the worst first quarter production. So you've got to be able to enhance your defense. You've got to score early, get the lead, so then Khalil Mack can rush the pass. Akeem Hicks can power the guards back. You know, Robert Quinn can come off the edge. That's how you build leads. But when you're behind in the first quarter, you know, when you're behind, when you're down on an average of 16 points in the first quarter, and then you're down, you only score 80 points in the second quarter, things are a problem.
So let's forget about the quarterback position for a second, Michael. When you look at that offense then and how they can, you know, utilize some of the playmakers, I think they probably have neglected the running back position because after David Montgomery, you don't have a ton of depth, certainly not veteran depth. I look at the wide receivers and I wonder, certainly the tight ends are more improved. But when you look at the Bears, how do you explain the lack of playmakers? Where does it compare to the rest of the league? And how will they score those points?
You know, that's a great question. I don't have an answer for it. I think the one criticism that I would have on Matt Nagy, if I had a conversation with Matt Nagy, I would say, Matt, we got to get tougher. We just can't run triple reverses to get a yard. Like, we're the worst team in the National Football League in gaining third and one. Like, we're Chicago. We're the Windy City. We're tough. You know, we got to be able to get some yards. And I think the problem with their offense, it's all finesse. It's all tricks. It's all gadgets. And instead of just lining up and saying, here's where we're coming, you know, Dan Henning, the old former coach of the Washington Redskins as an assistant, and he became a head coach of the Chargers and the Falcons, he used to say, if you don't have tendencies, you can't be any good. You know, Bo Schembechler used to say, you know, tell them we're going to snap it on one and here it comes. I mean, there's a part of football that you've got to be able to dominate when the play is on the line. And I don't see it. You know, the Bears have talent, but their offensive line has no power to it. They play with no power. And then they don't have a power running back. I mean, if Montgomery doesn't play this week, are they going to play Patterson in the backfield? You can't play Cohen. Cohen's a gadget player. You know, he's a gadget. You know, we're going to run a screen and a draw for him, right? Who's going to be able to power to get those third and ones? And let me say this really clearly. Playoff games are decided by who wins third and one. Games are decided by who can convert to third and one, third and two. So if you can't do that successfully as a football team, you don't keep the ball. You can't score points.
You know, I think it's fascinating. I think of Patterson as a gadget guy. I mean, I know he's a big guy and all that, but when he was effective in New England, they could use him in a lot of different ways. I don't know that either Cohen or Patterson would be anyone that I would want as a primary kind of running back, right? It just when you look at the position.
I agree. Look, if I were the defensive coordinator and Patterson's in the backfield, I would be blitzing the formation. I would force Patterson to have to protect somebody and know who he was protecting. The reason why Patterson never has been able to stay at one place has nothing to do with his athletic skill set. He is tremendously talented, right? It's his ability to think and play at the same time, to learn multiple positions, to be able to make things happen when the game's moving really fast, right? So, you know, he's a kid that, you know, they used to have to line him up in Minnesota. They lined him up in one spot. They tried to get him, and they couldn't quite get it there. Then he went to New England, and New England used him on different ways, just like you said. But now that he's in the backfield, he's part of that protection scheme. And they're going to have to use, and somebody's going to have to put, he's got to block somebody because he can't free release all the time. So they're compounding some problems. I'm with you. When you have too many trick players, you become a trick offense, and that's what the Bears are.
Mike, when you zoom out and you look around the rest of the league, teams that receive a lot of hype like the Browns did last year kind of concern me going into a season. I wonder if the Bucks, if the hype and the results are going to match some of the attention they've gotten. It's difficult this preseason because it's been so different. But when you look around the league, anybody that you look at and think, okay, they're going to surprise some people because there's not been a lot said, written, or discussed about them, but that is a team to watch.
Well, I think, look, I think Detroit, nobody pays attention to how great Matthew Stafford played last year. And I know the Bears beat him twice, and the Bears, you know, were fortunate to win that game. But Matthew Stafford was having his career year. It was unbelievable what they were able to do offensively when he played. You know, they were 3-4-1, I think, by the time he got hurt his back the last play. And when he left after the Oakland game, they lost that game. So, you know, I mean, I don't think Detroit's a sleeper. I think Detroit can be a pesky team. You know, they've got to prove themselves to be much better on defense for me. But when I look at it, I think Seattle could be a really good team. And Russell Wilson is doing something that I think he needs to do. He's talking about let me throw the ball more in the first quarter. So, see, we talked about this earlier, right? Seattle is back to that school program where we're going to run it in the first quarter, establish the run, when in reality, West Coast offense established the lead. Wilson's begging Pete Carroll to let him throw the football. If he lets that happen, Seattle's a really good team. They're going to be problematic to deal with. I think Atlanta Falcons, after last year, they were 6-2. You know, when Raheem Morris became the defense coordinator, they got much better. Tampa, look, I love Tom Brady. I won 2 Super Bowls with Tom, but I think when you watch him play the last 8 games of last year, the offense was not very effective. They struggled. They struggled doing things that really easily to do offensively. They just didn't do them. Whether Tom didn't trust the receivers, whether he didn't trust the calls, whether he wasn't really comfortable, that I don't know. But I think that, you know, Denver took a huge lift. You know, they're putting a lot of faith in Drew Lock, and I'm not sure that's going to be worthwhile, but I think it's worth the chance. But then losing Von Miller, who didn't play well last year, but they needed Von Miller to go with Bradley Chubb. I think when you look over the league, Dallas looks to me. I think Philly has taken a step back. They haven't drafted well since the Super Bowl. You know, they still have on that Super Bowl cocktail. And it seems like when you look at their roster, they haven't been the same team. So, you know, I think this is a year where you've got to go with coaching, conditioning, and teams that are tough and play with great pad level. I think that's going to be the month of September.
Great stuff, Michael. Thanks a ton. We really appreciate
it. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
That is Michael Lombardi. Great stuff there. A lot of really interesting ideas expressed by Michael. We're going to talk White Sox next. We're going to bring in Ozzie Guillen. Last night, worst loss of the season. Can you compartmentalize it, or could that leak over? We'll ask Ozzie. Mullionhaw on the score.
Ozzie Guillen.
I'm the captain of the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I watch. Can I go to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a delight to talk to Ozzie Guillen. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Hey, Ozzie, how are you?
Hey, Ozzie. Hey, what's up, guy? What's going on?
Well, you know, we talked about the game last night, and I don't know how you don't say that that's the worst loss of the season thus far. I mean, it's great that you haven't had a lot of things like that happen, but they blew 2 different leads in that game. They had a nice 3-0 lead and 4-2, and you thought that they could get out of that one, and instead you have blunders and mistakes, and it just, you know, the bullpen falls apart, base running, I don't know what Madrigal's thinking. Ozzie, how do you make sure that is just a singular event, that there's no carryover from that? And again, you know, it's one game, it's one bad loss, but you had a chance to pick up a little bit of room on the teams behind you.
Well, you know, it's kind of ugly game, but at least, you know, the ball was bouncing different way. You know, I think we take a lot of breaks when they play in Kansas City. And yesterday, you know, I mean, everything was wrong. Especially the defense was wrong. Pitching, you know, they've been great out of the bullpen. Very good perform out of the bullpen. Sees to the ball well. But one thing about it, you have to forget what's going on, what happened. No matter it's good or bad. No matter what you do, good or bad, you got to try to forget the one day to another. That's the good thing about baseball. Every day is different. Every day is a competition right now. Every game's in the playoff mode. It's going to be a dogfight all the way through it. And every game's important. Every game's important. Just you don't have to carry, you cannot carry over for the next day because then you will have problems. And I don't think the White Sox need that because they're playing pretty good baseball so far.
Ozzie Cease gave up one hit in his first 4 2/3, and then ran into some trouble, but he took the mound in the sixth, gave up a single, and he was replaced after 79 pitches. You know, he struck out two, did not walk a batter, thought he looked pretty good. I don't know about the removing him at the time. What did you think about the decision to take out Cease?
I was thinking the same way. You know, I mean, we was confused. That's why I criticized Chicago media, just because they know us. The manager about why they put him out, you know what I mean? You can say, you know, you can ask why you put him out. And you can say, because I want to, because I think he got enough, or he's hurt. We don't know if he's hurt or not. Or it's something wrong, because he throw the ball very good. I think he got one weird inning, but everybody does. And I think the way the bullpen is being used last couple of days or 3 or 4 days, you know, I think, you know, it was a great opportunity for him to grow up as a pitcher and let the bullpen rest a little bit. But nobody in Chicago asked him, the manager, why he did it. You know, just kind of bothered me a little bit, because I was in that position before. I had to explain everybody what's going on. I think now me just a little lazy about asking questions. But it did. I think I love the way she's pitched. Hopefully he learned from that. Hopefully getting better, because the White Sox going to need him you're going to need him later on. And I think this good start for him. Hopefully continue to do it.
Ozzie, when you think about where the White Sox are at and you think about the rotation, big start tonight for Dylan Cease. They got Thursday off. You know, they don't have to worry about the fifth starter until I think it's next week. But, my God, you start thinking about all these injuries, and you think about, you know, if Keuchel can't go, and we don't know yet where he's at. Hopefully he's okay. Rodon was pushed back, so he's not coming to the rescue, at least anytime soon. Where are they at? I mean, Gio Gonzalez comes off the injured list, but he's not stretched out. I don't know that he goes more than a couple innings. Are they going to have to contemplate some bullpen games here moving forward?
Well, that's a good thing in baseball now, bullpen days. I think they should call Lopez up. Hopefully Lopez come out and be what we think he can be. I worry about Keuchel, because has been pitching like that for a few starts. And if that guy is down, wow, it's going to be very tough for the White Sox to replace him. But I think in that spot, I will call Lopez again. Lopez is the best one they have right now down in Chamber. And give him the opportunity to see if he got better or if they can count with him. I think everybody, every start for the White Sox, he counts. And I'd rather give Lopez the ball than Gio Gonzalez.
Ozzie, Nick Madrigal's hitting .391. He looks really seasoned at the plate. He's made the adjustment quickly. He's a rookie. He's aggressive. He can't do what he did last night on the base paths in the ninth inning. If you're his manager, how do you handle that with a player whose intensity you like, but got now he's had a couple situations where he just made a mental mistake that you can't really accept?
Well, that's kind of hard. This kid is very aggressive. I think based on yesterday, he talked about that. He said, you know, it was a big mistake for him, a rookie mistake. He will learn from that. I don't think Renteria should be talking about that, because he know it. Everybody know. Everybody know he's made a big mistake. Hopefully, not happen again. He might be happening again. I see one of the best players I ever see, Andrew Jones, walked through the third base coach sign twice against the Cubs. And Bobby Cox taking him out of the game and teaching a lesson. You always do what the third base coach told you to do. But I like the kid. Hopefully they don't take the aggressivity from him. Just continue to play the game the way he play. And those mistakes, they got to stay away from you, and you got to move on.
I find it fascinating that you think Ronaldo can come back. And, I mean, listen, he's healthy. I get it. And he's got experience. But, boy, he's not looked good at all. I mean, he just hasn't looked good this year.
I know that. But, you know, who you got down there? Gio? He's going to get you one inning, two innings. Who else out there? You know what I mean? So you don't have that much up there. At least you got to go a bullpen day. But I'd rather have the bullpen there. I'd rather have a guy be a starter before. And hope for the best. You know what I mean? Every time this kid takes him out, we expect a good game for him. We do. And never, it's had been like a year and a half, it's not happened yet.
Right.
Well, hopefully that outing give him a lot of confidence and go move on. But I think what they have, I will roll the dice with him and hope for the best. And hopefully give me a good day. But with Gio, you never know what's going to happen. A couple of injuries. Yeah. He only pitched one inning, two innings, mostly three innings. And then you put your bullpen to work very, very hard. And I'd rather go with Lopez. He did it before. We're waiting for him to start being a pitcher we think he can be. And good luck, because I don't think anybody down there is better than him right now.
So, Ozzie, we know how much the White Sox value your opinion. So if they asked you to promote one player on this team in this season for American League Most Valuable Player, and you can only pick one, who is that guy?
Abreu. Ozzie, I know Tim Anderson would be the key for this ball club, and I think Abreu had the type of year offensively because Tim Anderson, there's no doubt about it. But I think Abreu got the big hit. What he's been doing is outstanding. Clutch hitting, big home runs, and what they need, it seems like when the White Sox need something, it seems like Abreu is at the plate, make the thing go through. And I will vote for him. It's right now, the season's over today. Abreu should be the MVP of the American League.
Wow, that's great. Ozzie, when we think about where the White Sox are at, you know, you hear from people all the time, well, they were 9-1 against Kansas City. And I think that's glorious, and I want more. I mean, Kansas City was kind of a boogeyman team for them. It's hard to go in and win four in a row anywhere, and to do it against Kansas City is just fantastic. But where are they? I mean, when, you know, you look at, they got, I think, a winning team in 11 of the last 15 games, something like that. Where is this team is in terms of being among the best in baseball? Are they a pitcher short? Are they good enough to beat anyone? Does it come down to matchups? I would hate to see the Indians, if you had to play them, for instance, because of all the right-handed pitching. What do you think?
Well, the small club's playing well right now. A lot of people say, well, they beat Kansas City. Well, they should beat Kansas City. That's in the schedule. You do the bad thing, you beat them. The good thing, you play good at them and compete against them, something White Sox don't do yet against Cleveland and Minnesota. Hopefully now with the season in progress, they know they got to beat those guys. To be in first place, you got to beat the guys compete against you. And I think they should know about it. I know they know about it. And they got one window this week. Hopefully they stay in where they are right now. And when those guys come in town and they go to see them, hey, just move on and beat them. I think they got a good enough team to do it. And just stay healthy. I think that competition will be all the way to the end. The way the American League Central is right now, it's going to be all the way to the end. Nobody going to fall. And I think they have a good enough team to compete.
Ozzie, where's your confidence level with Jimmy Cordero?
Well, Jimmy Cordero. I don't know, man. These guys in the bullpen. I think got more games than anybody. Than Moncada. These guys every day there. It is funny because every time they could lock up, Cordero say, "I'm loose already. Don't worry about it." You know, it's you don't have a. He don't know what his job is in the bullpen. It can be a long man, it can be a short man, it can be the setup guy one day. This guy's been great for Renteria. He's got an unbelievable arm because this guy really is up every single day. And he turned good. You know, yesterday he got a little hiccup, and hopefully he turned the thing around and come back and continue to pitch good. His ERA is crazy, but he don't have a one spot in the bullpen to see what he does.
Ozzie, when we look at where the White Sox are at this point in the season, I mean, it's been fantastic to see them putting up wins and building what they've got going right now. They are, four wins away from ensuring they don't have a losing season. And I know that shouldn't be something we're looking for here. But the fact is that coming into the year, personally, I just want them to have a winning year, and now everyone's making the playoffs, so it's a little different. But how do they fit into that division? I mean, I know they can play with everyone, but they're 4-8 against the Twins and the Indians. Now, I know some of that's early in the year, but they kind of have to win this Twins series just to feel good about themselves. You got to get by Detroit first. I understand that, but where do you see them within the?
Yeah, I got it. I think they're ready to compete, man. I think they should go out there and play the way they be playing. They know they got to beat Minnesota. They know they had to beat Cleveland. They know they've been doing that. No, they are capable to do that. Yes, I think they have a good enough ball club. If the pitching stay well, and I think they do it. But they show us so far they not play good against those two teams. They need to. Now they got one more series left, and I think they should go out there and compete against them. There's no doubt about it. But if they don't know they got to beat Minnesota and Cleveland to get what they want to get, then they're wasting their time because they do that. They know they have to beat those two guys.
Ozzie, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Great stuff, Ozzie.
Guys, take care. Thank you, guys. Take care.
You too.
All right, that's Ozzie Guillen. And we're going to ask Steve Stone that question next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.